Lord, we just thank you for the amazing way you have and are dealing with us, for more of Jesus and less of us, more of Jesus, in real life ways, in real ways. Lord, I know so many of the students and those precious hearts that are here, they've been crying out to you, Lord, crying out in areas where they get stuck, Lord, where there is confusion, Father, where there is a lack of the foundation to be laid of your Son in ways that they can walk in his Spirit through the trials and the daily things of this life where Christ can live. Lord, we're crying out for your heart, for your desire for your Son, for all the things you're sharing with us to be made real in us. And so, Father, I ask that your Spirit would just help me and help us. Help me not as a teacher, as a person who needs more of Jesus and less of me. Help us as we have groaned and cried out for Jesus to be the answer in real ways that we can apply and walk in. So, Holy Spirit, we look to you as our teacher. We come up under the Word of God. We open our hearts, Father, for your dealings, to help Christ be formed in us according to your idea, desire, eyes, view. Lord, may each class be just as you desire it. May it be according to the things of your heart for each one. We are not faster than the slowest sheep. We want to enter in together. So let the Spirit of God move, just as he would in each one, right where they're at. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like we had just said when we were starting, this isn't meant to be a deep class in the sense that we think of going deep in the Word, at times maybe even in a way that we make it knowledge. This isn't meant to be anything more than our hearts trying to lay hold of Jesus as our life and learning some basic things that have been laid out for us even in this place, Accelerated Christian Training School. I am a graduate of the first class, and I'm still desperately in need of Jesus in these ways. So I'm right here with you, one of the slow sheep, crying out for Jesus. But when I was in Bible school a very long time ago, in the very first class, our pastor cried out for us because we needed help. We needed help just getting the basics so we could lay a hold of Jesus in some real ways and not get so tripped up. And Pastor Randy cried out to God, and the Lord began to answer those cries on our behalf, so we could lay hold of Jesus as our life. And what was given was a book called Something for the Culturally Deprived. Mallory's going to know the exact title. Culturally Deprived is within that title from the original course. But we've also since called it Sense Realm, Spirit Realm. And there were many things that were shared of the Lord that are found in the scriptures, laid out in a way to really help us. And I'll be touching on some of those as the Lord leads, but we have a specific kind of emphasis for this time around, this semester, but really this season, this deep season of where our hearts are at and Christ is at, and the seed of God is at in us. So the title of this class is Learning the Spirit Realm and Sense Realm While Dealing with Beasts. And no, we are not going to a zoo and looking into cages or taking a plane to Africa and observing wildlife. The wildlife that we are talking about is the beasts that are within us. Actually, we could call them us, that old nature that we all need to claim, that old nature that was crucified with Christ, that can still rise and take the throne away from that little lamb, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, the one who's God the Father put in us as our life. So we're looking at these principles of the spirit realm and the sense realm with a special view and angle of very specifically dealing with beasts. And that's going to make more sense in our hearts as we go. But we have to start with some and continue with some basic foundations. Now, let me also say that this class or course or whatever it is, this time seeking God for what we need, there is going to be, for the students, there's going to be a time of workshop where we will get together and we will have labs. We will practically do workshops on how we can practice laying hold of these things in our daily walk. And I'm sure that those labs are going to be really, really special. And interesting is a word we could use. But we hope the Lord leads us and uses it so that we can get beyond what we're doing here on Wednesday nights, just getting in the Word and looking at principles, but that we can get into the fray of the battle and lay hold of the Lord, deal with these beasts, and allow the Lamb to take the throne of our hearts. Can I hear an amen? Woo! Yes, Lord! We just had First Peter class, and remember at the beginning of the corridor, which is on the other side of that chalkboard, there was hope. We want to walk into this experience, this dealing of God, this laying hold in living ways, learning and applying in our walk with hope, with hope. Amen. Hope that the Lord is going to do something in our hearts, and that something is going to be His Son, and it's going to be in ways that maybe we have struggled. But I would ask you to pray. Pray for one another. Let faith rise in your heart. Find the Father's heart for His Son and lay hold of that desire and wrap your faith around it. Make it your own, even in the midst of those beasts that are rising from that sea, which is your own inward parts. As we learn to lay hold of the Word, walk in the Spirit, use the sword of the Spirit, embrace the Word that is Spirit and life. There are so many things the Lord has given us here in this Bible school. Part of our heritage, us in the first class, we still treasure it and apply it and need it more. And I'm just here as a servant and one who still needs it to pass that rich blessing on to the next generation that we can all just enter in together. So that's the theme and the feel of this time. So having kind of laid that brief introduction out for you, and that way you can in a certain sense determine maybe if this is a time for you or not for you. You know, it's not about being in every class, it's about where does God have you? Where is the Spirit leading you? What is God doing in you? We don't want anything except what's Him. It's just what He has for you. And if this feels like it could be a blessing and a help, that's the spirit of it. And if not, amen. Be where the Lord has you with all your heart. And just pray for the young ones and even the old ones who still so desperately need this. That for Jesus' sake, we can lay hold of Him in these ways. Amen. Amen. Let's get in the Word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 16. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, that man is Adam. We know that. He was the only man in chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's read that last verse again. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of that, for in the day that you eat of that, you will surely die. Who said that? Did the snake say that? Or did the Lord God say that? The Lord God commanded the man. And in commanding the man, he said, don't eat from that tree. You're going to surely die. Well, we have some strong verbiage that if we eat from that tree, for sure, we're going to die. That's important in the way that we're approaching the class this semester. And though the little building blocks we put, little Tinker Toy building blocks we set on our table tonight, may be so simple. But even today, when I was with the Lord, I thought, oh, I think he's going to gather a few simple building blocks in some of these sense realm, spirit realm areas, and he's going to begin to build them together in a way that's going to help us maybe take a look at some of these things with the beasts we've been dealing with in ourselves, us, that old nature, and have an approach based on the Word in some of these ways that have been given. And I believe they're going to help some of you, because I think the Lord has that in his heart. The Spirit is there, and we're looking at his Word. So let's hold on to this. Is one of the stones. This is one of the building blocks. Thou shalt surely, that word die. Surely, you will surely die if you eat from the knowledge of good and evil. That's one of the building blocks. It's a simple one. And we all doctrinally know it. We could write a book on it, talk about it, teach it. We are very well acquainted with, if you eat from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. I mean, we all know that in our knower, in our brain, in our doctrine, but we're wanting to lay hold of that in our heart in a way that's going to help us when we're dealing with the beast. But really, it's not about first and foremost dealing with beast. It's about enthroning the Lamb. But just hold on to those things, okay? So we're going to look at the word die based on what God said. Second verse, chapter in the Bible, in regards to eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're looking at that. Thou will surely die. Now, we're going to skip to Ephesians chapter 2. You can start turning there. But as you hop along to chapter 2, way down the road in New Testament, remember that we are looking at the word thou shalt surely, the word die. And we know that in chapter 3, I think, or right along there, about a chapter or so down the road from Genesis chapter 2, they did eat from the tree. We know that. It happened. And they died. Because God said they would. They fell. And a death happened. And though it was not a physical death that happened in the garden when Adam and Eve, or shall I say Eve then Adam, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a death did happen. And it was passed, that death, onto all of us. It's called the fall. But it's a death that happened based on thou shalt surely die if you eat from that tree. Hold that in your heart. Just hold on to that. And let's look at a scripture that supports that death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead, not just guilty, dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. But let's look at the first part of the verse. Even when we were dead in sins, God has quickened us together with Christ. When we were dead in sins. We're going to look at Romans now, and you don't have to turn there. I can just read this. It's the same, just looking at death and what happened spiritually at the fall. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. And so it's death that was passed on. We're going to go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Again, I can just read these or you can look them up, write them down, whatever you feel in the Lord. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So death, the death that comes, the sure death that comes when we eat from that tree, is a state of being. You can write this one down. Students, I'm going to ask you to write this sentence down. You do want to start a journal. It's going to be part of our workshop time. Everyone needs to have a journal. And I'm saying that not as a teacher being legalistic and homework oriented, because I'm not. But I'm saying this as a sister who believes that it's going to help us gain the Lord in precious ways in this time together. So this would be something you'd want in your journal. And if you're wanting to, you're not a student, but you're in, you know, I would just say, hey, start a journal. And this would be one good sentence to write in the beginning of it. Death is a state of being. It's not a thought or a knowledge. Yes, they did eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there was all these thoughts and things involved there, reasonings, etc. We all know that realm, don't we? But death was the result, not faulty reasoning, not carnal. The carnal mind is death. That's Romans chapter 8. Not faulty reasoning. Why are we kind of pressing into these points? Because there's things in the zoo, little zookeepers inside of there by the beast cages, that love to make excuses and justifications to keep the beasts alive, or hidden, or locked up, but never dealt with by the cross so the little lamb can take the throne. And this area right here is one of those places where if inside of our hearts we can begin to hold this above old, possibly old ways of understanding things, it may unlock a few cages, not to release something, but to bring forth the cross in a real way. So, okay, Lord, just I'm trusting the Lord to help be the one to communicate, because I don't want to. I want Him to. I want to back off, and I want the Holy Spirit to go forward and do what only He can do. My trust is in Him. And this is an area where He can truly minister something in us that will help us. Death is a state of being. It's not a thought or a knowledge. The carnal mind is death. It's not bad reasoning, faulty reasoning, wrong thinking. The Bible doesn't say the carnal mind is wrong thinking. It's death. And death is not a state of mind. It will affect our mind in the spirit of our mind, but it is a state of, death is a state of being. Death is a state of being. If we eat from that tree of knowledge, we shall surely die. Death is a state of being. The carnal mind may have lots of reasonings, and those reasonings truly may be wrong. But the carnal mind is death, and death is a state of being. If we eat from that tree that's full of knowledge, we die. Something in our being changes from life to death, or maybe not life yet, but goes into this death that is sure. It's a sure death. And that's the second point, is it's death. Death is a state of being, not a thought. We want to write that down. That's part of the block we want to lay on the table. to be built together as God moves and continues. But also, it's a sure death. And that's from Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. It's a sure death. It's not a rolling of the dice. If I play around with the knowledge of good and evil, if I play around with that tree, maybe I might get the Lord out of it somehow. Or maybe I'll get a little tripped up. But no, he said, it's a sure death. The verdict is out. The jury, the judge, it's all gone. He has said it even before he heard your case. If you ate from it, you're surely going to die. It's open and closed. We may know that in our minds. We may believe that even in our hearts. But in our walk and in how we process life and decisions and the things we eat, in our heart, that, you know, we're not talking about pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers here. We're talking about, what do we partake of? Lamb, the tree of life, or the knowledge of good and evil? Slain lamb, or the knowledge of good and evil? What do we eat? If we partake of that tree, it's a sure death, and death is a state of being. It's a sure death, and death is a state of being. It's a sure death, and death is a state of being. So we want to hold on to those. Okay, now we're going to go back to Genesis, but up to chapter 3, and beginning in verse 6. And once again, all these things aren't meant to fit together right now. We're just beginning to lay a few foundation bricks that we're going to build together as we go. We're going to use these Wednesday nights to get in the scriptures, to get in the Word, to get the foundation of the Word of God before us, so that when we do our workshops at other times that will not be on Wednesday nights, we can apply those things in practical ways together. So this is our time to fill our arsenal with the Word of God and get that in us in such a manner that when we come to our workshop, we're ready to begin to apply that, and then we can apply what is in the Word and what we're holding on to together in the workshop, in our walk. So, till Christ be formed. Genesis chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit of the tree and did eat. And she gave to her husband who was with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves and made aprons. Okay, so here's another result, another effect of eating from that tree. We've talked about the sure death, but here we now see that self-awareness, their eyes were opened not to see God, but to see their own nakedness. Self-awareness came with the fall. Self-awareness is part of that state of being that is death. Death, as we'll look at a little more clearly at another time. But that self-awareness was a result, was a symptom, an effect of that food going into their system. Isn't it funny when we eat something, we can smell something and it still can get in there and really affect us. But boy, oh boy, when we open up that mouth, chew it up and swallow it down, it's in our system. It assimilates all through us. And what we partake of becomes what we are. And that's another important point. We're not just looking at thoughts or viewpoints or, but if we can begin to understand it more on the level of partaking and not doctrinally, because we all understand partaking doctrinally, we got to keep striving not to fall into that deep, dark pit of the doctrines we know, because it's going to rob us from our heart laying hold of things that are going to bring forth the Jesus we love so much and the work of his cross that can go so deep and bring transformation where it's no longer I, but Him. So endeavor not to let that little doctrine monster grab away all your treasure, okay? Doesn't matter what we know. It matters what we be. Doesn't matter what we understand. It matters what we eat. These are the things that are getting in us, affect our state of being. It's life stuff. So self-awareness came. I wrote down, I see me, not Jesus. I think we should put that in our journal under this second effect of self-awareness. But for self-awareness, we want to write underneath that, I see me. Underneath that, not Jesus. Okay, so our first thing is death is a state of being, not a thought or knowledge. Okay, we want to look at that. It's going to be part of our workshop, part of the building bricks for what we're specifically looking at this semester. Underneath that, death is a state of being, we want to put this. Self-awareness is now our way. This is for our journals. And underneath that, I see me, not Jesus. I see me, not Jesus. Well, that makes sense to us because we've endlessly heard the doctrine of self-awareness as a result of the fall. But this class isn't about reiterating those things. How many of us in our daily, daily routine thoughts, meditations, reactions, viewpoints, words, responses, how much of that comes because I see me, not Jesus? How it's not a question for me. It's none of my business, and I don't want to. It's not my business, and I don't want to walk into that realm, that sacred place of your own heart. But that's for you and the Lord. That's just for you and Jesus. That's your and the Spirit. And that stuff, you just get on your knees and you say, oh Lord, in real life, in real situations, in real things, is my state a state of I see me, not Jesus? And is that coming out of death being in my system? Because I ate from that tree. And it's no condemnation Wednesday. I think wonderfully, beautifully, this class is on Wednesdays when we have it. So we can always say, usually I teach on a Thursday night, at least I have in the past. But this semester we can always stop at every point in our class and say, as is our tradition and has been for many, many years, it's no condemnation Wednesday. We are not going to go there. We're not going to go there. Because that's still the realm of self-awareness, isn't it? No, no. We're looking at this with that hope that we're going to find a new way to learn the spirit realm and sense realm and deal with these things. So we're saying it with hope that God's doing a new thing and applying things that were once doctrine that had no effect. These simple things having a profound impact in our heart and in our walk. With that faith, we just want to open, and as we journal, as we cry out, as we pray, as we search the scriptures, as we let the Spirit search our hearts, and then as we search the Lamb's heart, to see simple things in real ways. I see me, not Jesus. We want to hold on to that. It's one of those building blocks. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, I'll just read it real quick. It says, it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart has not comprehended the things God wants to share with us freely, that He's prepared for us, but the Spirit's going to share those with them that love God. Okay, it's the Spirit who's going to open our eyes, not this tree that opens our eyes to me. Spirit's going to do what our eyes can't. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll know the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So there's another opening of our eyes. That is the Spirit. It's God's. It's by the Spirit. But the enemy lied to them in Genesis 3. And let's hear what he had to say, verses 4 through 5. Genesis 3, 4 through 5. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of this tree, your eyes are gonna be opened. You're gonna be as gods. You're gonna know good and evil." Whoa! You think that same serpent is still sneaking around in the garden? Maybe even trying to sneak around in the garden of people's hearts? And saying the same line he said many thousands of years ago? Today? You shall not surely die. And isn't it important and interesting that the serpent used the word surely die? The same exact words God said, "Thou shalt surely die," in Genesis 2, verse 17. The serpent says in Genesis 3, 4, and 5, "You shall not surely die." But your eyes, not only will you not die, your eyes are going to be opened. Well, well, well. Let's all pray for a little bit of discernment. Who's talking? Is it the serpent or the Lord God? What does the Lord God say? If you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And death is a state of being. But the serpent says, if you eat from that tree, you shall not surely die. Even more, your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be as gods. Yikes, that's a clue right there. And you're going to know good and evil. You're going to be smart. You're going to understand things. That's a pretty wicked, straight from the enemy of the Lamb, straight from the mouth of the enemy. But we have to think beyond that's what the enemy said in Genesis to Eve, to what is happening in my heart, my reasonings, what voices are speaking in the garden of my heart right now, today, and discern, is that the Lord God? Is that the Word of God? Is that the Spirit of the living God? Or is that a snake or a carnal mind? What's the source? What's the source? You'll not die. You can play around with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you consider these things and eat from this, the good and evil, you're going to be smart. You're going to understand what's going on. You're going to be like a god even. You're going to be high in the know. Yes, you are. You're not surely going to die. No. In fact, you're going to be lifted up and your eyes are going to be opened. Can you hear the trademark of the evil one in that? Lifting us up, exalting self, completely rebellious against the word of the Lord, to use the exact same words and say it's not true. He's just not true. To tell us our eyes will be open to see something. And here's the point. Well, let's this is your next journal point, okay? This is our number three one. I do think you should maybe even before number three here, maybe we should make number three, what's going on in the garden of our heart? What voices are we listening to? What is the source? The serpent or the Lord God or the carnal mind? That maybe just make that a number three. Just write those down. And then we'll make this a number four. After you write that down, you can use Genesis 3, verses 4 through 5 for a reference. And our fourth point is a response to what the serpent said in the garden, which is, your eyes shall be opened. Now here's our fourth point for our journals. What are our eyes opened to? Now the serpent is saying, you're not going to surely die. You're going to know as gods, good and evil. and your eyes are going to be opened. Here's our fourth point, and it's a question. It starts with a question. What are our eyes open to? They're going to be surely opened, the serpent is saying to Eve. The answer, we're just, after that question, what are our eyes opened to? After that, you want to write, not life, not the slaughtered lamb. They are not open to life, ... They're not open to the slaughtered lamb, which is the tree of life. Okay, so if they're not being opened to the lamb that was slain, to partake of his flesh, to eat of his flesh, to drink of his blood, to eat from that crucified tree, if our eyes are not open to see him, what do we see then? And that's our next question. What are we seeing? And here's some points. We could probably fill the earth with the points that could be written now of what do we see instead of the slaughtered lamb. We see us. I just have a few choice ones that came to my mind. You can write down the ones that come to yours that mean something to you. Us, we see ourselves, which we know is part of the fall. I see me, not Jesus, not the lamb slain. We see us, we see issues. We see others. We see injustice. We see problems in the earth. It's just the beginning of a very eternally long list. We don't see the lamb. We see all the stuff. Okay, so we don't want our eyes opened to that. We want to see Jesus, like the Bereans said in the book of Acts. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. I don't want to see me. I don't want to know that and this. And I don't want to contemplate and partake. I want to see Jesus. I want my eyes open to him. I want to eat his flesh, drink his blood. Well, that's a wonderful sentiment in a worship service. That's a great belief system in a powerful class of or sermon or time in his presence. But what is our normal daily way? That's the questions we want to hold in our heart before the Lord. We want to lay open before him, not the enemy. It's a No Condemnation Wednesday activity. But before our Father, who put his Son in us to bring him forth from within us, and the Spirit who gives himself in so many ways to help Christ form and come forth. Before them we can trust and be vulnerable in these ways. We can be open before God. We don't have to trust. David said, I'd rather put myself in the hands of the living God instead of a man. He knew his Father. He trusted him in these ways. We can too. We can too. Amen. Now, and I think I'm going to maybe make this point one of our final points, because I really don't want to go too fast and pile too much stuff too quickly, because we have a whole semester ahead of us. And these are some really key points. Well, this will be our last one, and we probably will review these. This one here is very precious to my heart. It is, I believe, given of the Lord for us right now, and could be a very a blessing to a desperate heart. I know it is for me, to my heart. So it will take the Lord, as with everything, to lay a hold, to even begin to hear what maybe his Spirit wants to say about this. So right now we're just releasing the thought, the but may the Lord take that, and to each one that may desire, be hungry, needful in this, show what it truly means from his heart. That's what we're after. That's why we need to spend time with him, and not just gather the word, but go be with him, hear from him, soak with him, be dealt with by him in these things. So here we go. This is our final building block point for tonight, but it's one that I really put a lot of emphasis on. Okay, we are moved deep within by this knowledge. Okay, what knowledge are we talking about? What we just, the point we just made, what do we see? Us, issues, others, injustice, problems in the earth, you know. This knowledge being not information, but a state of being. And that state of being is death. Okay. All that we just said in points 1 through 4, we are moved, not in our brain, not in our doctrine, deep within by this knowledge. This is key. I think we're going to come back to this point again and again and again and again throughout the whole course. This is just our first time hearing it. We are moved deep within by this knowledge. This knowledge, which we know it's more than that, touches us and moves us deep within when we have partaken of it, when we've chosen to partake of it in these ways. In our inner parts, in our motives, move this knowledge that is a state of being, that is death, moves us deep within, in our inmost parts, in our motives, proving that it is death that is affecting us and not just information. It, the way this, what we call information or good and evil knowledge, affects us when we take it in, when we eat from it, it moves us deep inside. It doesn't just trigger thoughts. It will trigger thoughts. We all know that. But I'm going to ask you to consider this before the Lord in your own being and just seek the Lord. If there's anything to this, I don't know. I'm nobody and I don't trust myself as far as I can throw me. Seek the Lord. See what he has to say. Find it in the word that we're going to him. But this was something that affected me personally so preciously that I can apply in my life, and I'm going to. This knowledge moves us deep inside. It doesn't just change our thoughts and beliefs. It moves us because it's not just knowledge, it's death. It affects us. Okay, let's get practical. Let's get real practical with that so we can kind of wrap around our heart around it a little bit, maybe take a look and see in our own walk and life and inner parts if this might be something that could have a validity. Think about this. When someone hurts you, when someone slanders you, when someone betrays you and wounds you that you loved very much, when someone violates you deeply, does judging that through your senses and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil affect your thoughts only? Or does it move you deep within in areas like revenge, hatred, getting back, unforgiveness, self-pity, holding a grudge? And those things aren't thoughts. They have thoughts. They produce thoughts. But those are things deep within our motives. It isn't right that they did that. It's not right. That was not good. Oh, that was really good. And maybe we're moved in a different kind of way that still isn't the Lamb. I saw that. I felt that. That happened. I thought about it. This is the information I got on it. That wasn't right. That's evil. It should have been good. It was. Oh, I can't forgive them. I am so wounded. I need revenge. I am full of self-pity. It's not just information that affected us, at least in my life. When I'm partaking of that tree, I feel the death hit me in the bottom of the well where the motives dwell. And all the stuff starts stirring up from the inside. Stirring up. And I hear those beasts kind of shaking, stirring up in their cages. And then they start waking up and rising up and getting ready to pounce through my words and my reactions. That isn't information. That's another nature. And that's a nature that was crucified with Christ. Because it was corrupt. It's death. Until it becomes a matter of life or death. Or more specifically, the slain lamb as our nature, or the beast nature of the old creation. It's still just head knowledge. It's still just principles of sense realm and spirit realm and teaching. But when it can become a matter of life and death, a matter of the lamb as our nature, or that old nature that's just a beast, truly being what fills the temple, then we're kind of stuck, you know, in ruts. We believe it, but we always react. We always respond. We always have the same old reaction every time. Why can't I get over this? Why can't I just let Jesus come out? Why? What's going on in me? I believe it. I want it. I cry. I pray. Lord. We do want him. We do. That's why we're here. That's why we're seeking God. We're just taking the gift he's given us in this place of some basic principles from the Word to help lay a foundation to maybe start standing with him in some new ways, like they did in Revelation, where they stood with the Lamb, followed him, to make a new stand, to find the Lamb, not just up there on Mount Zion, but on this Mount Zion of our heart. And may these basic principles help. So like I said, we're going to look more at that one we just talked about probably throughout this whole course. But we just released the seed of it tonight. And that's a lot. There's a lot of seeds we did release. I pray to God it wasn't too much. I pray the Lord, if any of it be from him. And I would never assume that it is. You seek him. You pray for me. Let's all just come together and cry out together and cover one another with love and believe God for one another. And let the Spirit of the Lord be released in a way that the Lamb is already, even in our need, coming forth as we care for one another and believe for each other. And let the Spirit begin to have an environment where he can move by our love for one another, our prayers for one another, our faith for one another. We all want more of Jesus. We all have these ruts. We all crying out right now, groaning for him to manifest, and not these old attitudes and reactions and these death responses, these beasts that rise. We want the Lamb to be enthroned and to come forth. And our prayer in our heart is that these basic things will help that really happen. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what's in your heart, for your word, for the things that have been sown through this fellowship for many years, Father, that we are partakers of that grace, and that we can partake of it even deeper, and for your sake, for Christ, for his heart, for his release, for your heart, for others. More of Jesus, less of me. Lord, as we ponder these things before you and in the word, as we lay them before you in our hearts, not as doctrines, but as the depths, the ways that we live, may your Spirit minister to each one right where they're at, just as is needful in your sight, Lord. We give our hearts to you, Lord. We look to you, God, you alone. We commend all this to you as our Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life, who we want to live. So we thank you for this time and the times to come. And it's in your name that we pray, in Jesus' name.